Perek Gimel. The Hiram ben Achav Malach al Yisrael b'Shemrin b'Shnas Shmoneh Esrei Yishavat Melech Yehuda v'Im Loich Shtaim Esra Shana. So Yehoram was the son of Achav, and he was king in Shemrin. He started to become king in year 18 of Yishavat, who was the king of Yehuda. Yeah, and then Yehoram was king for 12 years. This means that Ahaziah was only, he says he was only king for 2 years. But he wasn't king for two straight years. They were broken up. So Ahaziah died. And when Ahaziah died, that's when Yehoram became king. So now let's see what kind of king Yehoram was. Vayaseh hara b'eini Hashem, rak l'ka'avi v'chi'imoi, vayosar es matzeva sabal asher osa avi. So now, Yehoram was also a very evil king. He did a rab b'eini Hashem because he did the same thing that Yerovam did. The only difference was that Yerovam, he worshipped idols because he wanted to do it lahachis, what the Gemara calls. Lahachis means he wanted to anger Hashem. He was trying to go against Hashem by worshipping idols. However, Yehoram didn't do it because he wanted to go against Hashem. Rather, he did it because he was afraid. He did it because he was afraid. What was he afraid of?
Afraid of the people go back to Yehuda to
exactly
to go to the base of Migdash.
Right. That's why the whole worshipping idol started to begin with. Right. You put two
lions.
Two golden calves.
Calves.
Two golden calves, and one in Dan and one in Beersheva. Conveniently located close to home, so you don't have to go all the way to the Beis HaMikdash. Just stay in your hometown or close to your hometown, and you can worship idols. So the reason why he kept them, why Yehoram kept them, who's king now, was because he didn't want them to go to Yerushalayim, didn't want them to go to the Beis HaMikdash, because he was afraid they will then become loyal to Yehoshaphat, the king of Yehuda. And so that's why he left them up. But what did he do? He did remove the Matseva Sabal. He took away the Baal. Right? Why? Because there's no need for it. The Baal is not there to make sure that his people will remain loyal to him. The Baal is just pure Avodah Zarah, right? Just Lahachis, to make Hashem angry. Like Yerovam, like Achav did. So for that there was no need, and that's why he took that down. What about the Asherah? Did he take the Asherah down? Doesn't say anything about the Asherah. The Radak points out that the Asherah was not taken down. Why not? Because his mother, Izebel, was still alive. And Izebel, as we remember, Izebel was into the Asherah. And so, it says that the Nevi Asherah were loyal to, his mother Izebel was loyal to the Nevi Asherah. She says, it says that they were Me'oichle Shulchana. They ate on her table. She made sure to feed them, to make sure all their needs are taken care of. So that was her. That was her baby. That was her thing, and that's why he couldn't go ahead and remove the Asherah, because his mother was still around.
He listened to his mother.
Yeah, good Jewish boy. Like, gotta listen to his mother. Otherwise, bad news. He's gonna get whipped, right? So he did at least one good thing. He removed the Baal. But he still kept the Agalim, the golden calves, and the Asherah. Pasuk Gimel, Rak b'chatei Yerovam ben Nevat, asher echti Yisrael davek lo yisar mimena. He continued doing the same thing that Yerovam ben Nevat did, and he didn't change his ways in that sense. Now, let's see Pasuk Dal. Now we're going to see a war break out between Yehoram and Yehoshaphat, the two Jewish kings, against Melech Moav. Mesha Melech Moav hayo noiked. Mesha was the king of Moav. He used to give a certain amount of taxation to the king of Israel. He was subject to the king Melech Israel. Every year he would supply 100,000. Naked means he would cut the wool from the sheep. If he supply 100,000 wools and 100,000 karim.
From the female sheep and the male sheep.
From the female sheep and from the male sheep.
All right.
Right? That was his tax that he gave every single year. Once Achav passed away, now Melech Moav says, oh, guess what? The cat goes away, the mice come out to play. Right? I'm not interested in paying tax anymore. Well, let's try to challenge his son and see if his son, Yehoram, is as powerful as his father, Achav. So he stopped paying the tax to Yehoram. Yehoram goes out and leaves Shemron, which is where his palace was. This Kol Yisrael, he gathers the Jewish people, and he starts counting them. Right, he's counting them because he wants to see how large and powerful his army is. He sends a message to Yehoshaphat, the king of Yehuda, tells him, Melech Moav Poshabi, king of Moav, rebelled against me. He stopped paying taxes. Atelech iti el Moav l'melchama. Will you join me against Moav to fight my war? V'yoymer e'ele kamoini kamoicha ke'ami ke'amecha ke'susai ke'susecha. Right? If you remember, this phrase should be familiar. Who said this phrase before? Last time, Melech Moav went out. Sorry, Melech Yisrael joined with Melech Yehuda. They said the same thing, right? I'm like you. You're like me. My men are your men. Your horses, my horses are like your horses. We're all on the same team over here. So this is a bit of a deja vu. You have Melech Yehuda and Melech Yisrael joining forces together to try and fight Melech Moav. Pasuk Ches. V'yomer Eisa Derech Nale. Where should we go to attack Melech Moav? V'yomer derech Midbar Edom. He says, let's go travel through Midbar Edom. Why do they want to go through Midbar Edom? Midbar Edom was a very, very roundabout way to get to Melech Moav. There's no need to go through Midbar Edom.
Why, there's some idea why he support
Melech Yisrael? Yehoram?
Yehoram. Why he decided? There is some relation between...
So the Malbim explains that when Moav rebelled against Melech Yisrael, against the king of Israel, he joined forces, he signed an agreement with the Amoin. Right, Ammon and Moab are two sister nations. Right, they both come from who?
Lot.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Lot and his daughters, they were the ones who brought about the nations of Ammon and Moab. So Ammon and Moab joined together with Moab. And then they went out and they attacked Yehoshaphat, the king of Yehuda. So that's why Yehoshaphat says, you know what? I'm on the same boat as you. Right? If I don't do anything, they're going to attack me again. Happens to be, I was able to push them off. But if I don't show them who's boss, they're going to regroup and reattack. And that's why he was willing to join in with the efforts of Melech Yisrael, Yehoram, to try and attack Moav and to show them who's boss over here. Right? Don't get too excited. Just because Achav died doesn't mean that you can start taking advantage of us.
But this Mao continue make pay taxes to King of you did King or he did not pay anything. What he paid tax to one kingdom, but he paid the same taxes for another king.
No. Only to Melech Yisrael.
Only to Israel.
Right, but they did attack Melech Yehuda. So that's why Melech Yehuda was willing to join in with Melech Yisrael and try to fight Moav.
Okay. It's not economical.
Right, no. For him, it wasn't economical reason. It was just...
Political.
Yeah, just political. Well, more because he
an
wanted
ally.
To...
An ally.
Yeah.
Became an ally, but not a...
Right.
Didn't get anything out of it.
Yeah.
Just afraid, maybe.
Right. Okay, so let's see. Let's find out why they're traveling through Melech Edom. Through Midbar Edom. There's no need for that. So the reason why they traveled through Melech Edom was because Edom was subject to the king of Yehuda, and so the king of Yehuda, Yehoshaphat, had an idea. You know, if we're already going out to war, why don't we join forces with Melech Edom? He's going to help us out because he's subject to me. So we'll travel through Melech Edom. We'll form one big, huge army. The army of Melech Israel, the army of Melech Yehuda, will join forces with Edom as well. They'll have a big, powerful army, and then Ammon and Moab will have no chance at all. We're going to be able to wipe them out completely. That was their strategy. That was their plan. So what do they do? V'yelech Melech Yisrael, Melech Yehuda, Melech Edom, right? They travel together, all these three armies. V'yaseibu derech shivas yamim, they travel this long about...
way.
Roundabout way for 7 days. What happens when you travel for so long with such a huge army?
No water.
You run out of water. Right? Big problem. What do you do? So let's just take a second to see exactly where they traveled so you can get a better picture of what they're trying to do. So let's grab... there we go. Let's grab a map. We can see right in front of us what's going on over here. So yeah, here we go. So
let's see where the map is. All right.
Here. Guys, here's the map. Yeah? Got a map.
Map.
Oh. So Shomrayin is up here.
I'm looking at maps.
Yeah, Shomrayin is up here. This is where Melech Yisrael lives. Right over here.
All the way
on the top.
Yeah.
Right? And then you see the line going all the way down?
Yeah.
It went down to Yerushalayim.
Yeah.
Right? To Melech Yehuda. Right? He joins forces with him. And then, what do? They travel for 7 days. They keep going down, all the way down here, to Edom. Right? They join forces with Melech Edom. And then they start coming all the way back, right? To there. Right? A very long way. Right? Instead of, right, again, he could have gone straight down here. But he goes all the way down to Yerushalayim, then all the way down to the bottom to Edom, then all the way behind Melech Moav, and Moav started off from here, and they went down here. We'll see in a minute where they met.
Down in Jordan.
Yeah. But that's the long way they went just to...
These guys would get tired. The other one went a short way.
Is there
no shorter way?
There is a shorter way. But because he wanted to join forces with Melech Yehuda, who lives here in Jerusalem, Yerushalayim, and then they traveled all the way down here to Edom, right? Edom is over here.
The Negev.
Yeah. This is Midbar Edom. This is the desert of Edom.
What is the idea to join? Is this three different army can go the same point?
Right, they could have just said, okay, guys, the plan is we're all meeting at, such and such, right?
Yeah.
Send the address to your GPS.
What's his name? What's his name did that?
Who did that?
Hannibal,
yeah.
Hannibal. He went all the way from Africa, crossed the Mediterranean with elephants.
Elephants.
All the way up to, through Spain, France, through the Alps, and came all the way down to Italy to attack the Romans.
Wow.
Quite a feat that in those days, crossing the Alps with elephants.
I'm sure.
The reason why he's great.
A great warrior.
The Romans were waiting for him. They figured he'd come across the Mediterranean and attack him. He goes all the way around, up the Alps and all the way down, and he attacks them. They weren't waiting for him.
Wow.
So they won. He won, but he didn't conquer Rome.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
He didn't. His strategy, you know, his strategy was great, but you know, when you go to fight an enemy, you go to win, not to
right. Yeah.
Kind of lose.
Yeah. That's too bad.
All right. We'll do that way.
Okay. Let's continue. Ve'er Melech Yisrael, right? So now they're stuck. They've got no water. They've got three huge armies to supply. We got no water. Ve'er Melech Yisrael. Melech Yisrael says, aha! Right? He says, whoa! Ki kara Hashem l'shloshes ha'malachim ha'ele loses oisam b'yad moyav. He says, oh, woe to us! He's saying, what is he saying over here? He's saying that we made a terrible mistake. Right, we should have gone straight down, right? There's no reason to go all the way down, right, joined together. Mm. And he said, we don't even need the army of Edom together with us. Just us alone, right? Melech Yisrael, Melech Yehuda alone are powerful enough to defeat Ammon and Moab. There's no reason for us to go ahead and join forces with Edom, right? It must be that Hashem put this thought in our mind, because he wanted us to travel all this long roundabout way, because he wanted us to run out of water. He wanted us to be in this situation, because he wants us to fall in the hands of Moav. Right? Because again, according to the Seichel Yashar, to the correct way of thinking, you know, to just basic common knowledge, there's no reason for them to go down to Moav to join forces with Edom. They don't need it.
Why if Edom wants to fight
Ismael? Well, Edom was subject to Yehuda, so he would do anything that Yehuda asked him. Back then, you know, if you were defeated in war, then yep. you would be obligated to come join.
Well, pay taxes anyway.
Yeah, it's both paying taxes. That was one thing, right? And also, you'd have to join forces with the king that you subjugated to.
Edom was and belongs to the what is this is independence?
Yeah, I'm saying they had their own autonomous country.
But what kind of benefit Edom expect to fight with Moab?
He's not. Yeah, you're right. He's not going to gain any benefit.
But only so to support.
Yeah, only to just to support Yehuda. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Yes, this is what Melech Yisrael is saying now. Sorry, Melech Yisrael says, oh, I made such a mistake by joining forces with Yehuda and Edom. I didn't need them. I could have just gone alone and everything would have been fine. V'yemer Shafat, Melech Yehuda doesn't lose his marbles. What does he say? Ha'ein pay navi la'ashem b'nidr shalas Hashem ma'isai. Right, isn't there a Navi amongst us? A real Navi Lashem? Why don't we consult him and see if Hashem can come to our help, come to our aid? But Yan Echod Me'avdei Melech Yisrael V'yoymer Poi Elisha Ben Shafat Asher Yotzek Maim Al Yedei Elio. Says, guys, don't worry, good news, we've got a Navi in the house. The Navi is in the house, Elisha's here. And now why was Elisha with him? Well, why was he even there? No point. So the Radak explains that the reason why Elisha joined was it was by instructions from Hashem to join these armies because he knew this was going to happen, and he wanted to perform a nes to the kings of Yehuda and the kings of Israel to show them, oh look, Hashem is with you. Maybe that would change their mind and would get them to stop worshipping idols. That's what he was hoping for.
Says, perhaps Jeroham would repent.
Yes.
Repent. He mingled unnoticed among the soldiers.
Yes, he mingled unnoticed among the soldiers. No one knew where he was, but apparently one of them did know. And one of Avdi Melech Yisrael says, guess what? Elisha's here. Got nothing to worry about. Now, what does it mean? Asher yotzek mayim, he poured water on the hands of Eliyahu. What does that mean? Does that mean literally, or figuratively?
He was a servant. He was not a servant, but he was his follower, and you know.
Right.
It
was his right hand man.
Water, says he. He poured water. And when his pouring, his fingers became like the fingers of water until the ditch filled up.
Right, what is that referring to?
And it is fitting for a miracle to be alternately. This is an expression denoting Elisha's complete devotion to his master. He used to pour water in his hands, so...
Yeah. So when did that happen? That happened with the Baal. When Eliyahu was competing with the Baal, and they had their famous duel, right? Each one of them brought a carbon. So it says, right, in Har Carmel, right? So what was the nace? The nace was that Elisha was the one who poured water over the carbon of Eliyahu. He was the one who poured water over the carbon. It says, what was the nace? That his 10 fingers turned into 10 streams of water. Water was coming out of each finger. And that was the nace. And that's the water source that poured water over the carbon. And that's what it says, Asher yotzek mayim al yedei Eliyahu. He poured water over the hands of Eliyahu. Doesn't mean literally means that he was the one helping Eliyahu with the water.
This is Elisha. This is the same Elisha who accept spirit of Eliyahu.
Yes, same Elisha, same guy. Yes. So one explanation. What? Sorry.
Is this guy? He's kind of soldier or who?
No. He was a Navi.
But he
appeared. He kind of mingled with the soldiers, so they didn't know that he was a Navi. He got dressed up as one of the common folk, right? No one knew who he was.
But nobody knew his name.
No, nobody knew.
Besides the army, there was people that came to feed the army.
Right. There were suppliers.
Suppliers, and everyone's out to make a buck.
Yeah, you know, sure. Yeah, the army's an expensive... endeavor. Very expensive.
You got to have people in back of you. If you don't have food and people to cook for you, you're in trouble.
Right. Yeah, you're in big trouble. Yeah. So one explanation is figuratively. One explanation is literally. That he literally poured water over the referring to the carbon. And there's another interesting medrash that the Radak brings down, that what this means is that even if he would have asked for water, right, he would give it to him, right. He literally brought Eliyahu everything he needed, so he was supporting him, right. He took care of him. He was his personal, not really caregiver, but he would take care of all of his needs. Need a cup of water? I'll give you a cup of water. No problem.
Maybe like Yeshua to Moshe Rabbeinu.
Very similar.
Right-hand man.
Right-hand man, yeah. But he took care literally of anything. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you very much. He took care of literally everything. It's not like he just, you know, took care of, like, the big, you know, picture issues of, like, you know, gathering the people or giving nevuah. He took care of the smallest details, including bringing a cup of water. Yehoshaphat says, okay, great, we got a Navi in the house, let's hear Dvar Hashem. Let's see what Hashem has to say. So, everyone gathers, Melech Yisrael, and Yehoshaphat, Melech Edom, they all come together to hear what Elisha's got to say. They're standing there with bated breath to hear the word of Hashem. Pasukin Gimel, Vayemar Elisha, El Melech Yisrael, Mali Valach. Right? Elisha turns to Melech Yisrael and he says, what do you want from me? Lechel Nevi Avicha Vel Nevi Yemecha. Right? Hey, why don't you go over to, you know, to the Nevim that you're supporting? right? The Baal, the Asherah, right? What do you want from me? He says, nope, you're right. You are right. Now, only now do I realize that I made a mistake. And the reason why I'm in this situation is because Hashem wanted me to fall in the hands of Moav. So now, this is really an opening for Elisha to cause Yehoram to repent and hopefully change his ways. Because he's now realizing that he made a mistake and he's willing, he's opened, he's he realizes he's in the wrong, and this is a great opportunity. Okay, let's do one more pasuk.
It just seems that these people supposedly don't believe in God, because they believe in all the other baloney, and all of a sudden they're looking for somebody. What does God say? They don't care. All their life, they don't care, and all of a sudden, so what is it? What is it? What are they trying to tell us? And even though they did all the other stuff, they still believe in God. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, what are they looking for? A message from God if they don't believe in it? They must believe in it somehow.
Because,
you know, you ever heard the saying, there's no atheist in a foxhole?
That's what I was going to say.
Right? Right? So you can have someone who's an atheist, right? Yeah. No, I don't believe in God. No, yeah. God doesn't exist. But all of a sudden you're in a foxhole. Oh, now you believe in God all of a sudden. Right? That's what happens. That's the nature of the human. That's why Hashem brings upon us all these trials and
tribulations.
Thank you. To bring us closer to him. That's what he wants.
It seems the spark is still there.
Yeah, you're right.
The spark is
still in there. Even though they're doing it for whatever reason,
the spark
deep
is
down,
there.
They
the
believe
spark
in Hashem.
Is there once, Abraham, the spark.
Right.
I guess that's what Hashem told Abraham, all these things they're going to be doing right, but still the spark is never going to die.
Right, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Exactly that. Okay, we'll stop here. From Arev.
Oh, very good.